Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome to the Monday Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem. Glad to have you along. Hope you've had a great weekend. Looking forward to a good conversation today with our guest. And by the way, if you're listening to us online, or maybe the signal's not always the best, you want to find out about our new Faith Radio app, Ted. I don't know if you have you loaded that on your phone. Do you have a smartphone?
I do have a smartphone. Yeah, I do have an Android. It works really well. Yeah, you take it anywhere you want. It's crystal clear. It's free.
Yeah,
available on the Apple devices or the Android devices.
You can find a link on our website, right, myfaithradio.com, to find out how to get one, or just search Faith Radio Network, think in your app store, and just a nice way to listen to the live stream or access the shows you miss or read newest articles, discover new opportunities to connect. So check that out.
And tell a friend if they don't have it yet.
Yeah, good. I mean,
all the cool kids have it.
There we go. Speaking of cool kids, I was thinking about that old saying, which is, you know, it's probably even before your time, Ted, but, you know, to dwell above with the Lord we love, oh, that'll be glory. To live below with the saints we know, oh, that's a different story, something like that. We're gonna talk about today everyday grace infusing all your relationships with the love of Jesus, because the fact is that, you know, we don't always get along with each other all that well.
That's very true. We do need to give each other grace and receive God's grace.
Yeah. That's true. We're going to find out about someone who has written a lot about this, speaks frequently on the topic, and we'll find out if she's able to kind of live it out in her family relationships as well as her kids get older. Jessica Thompson speaks regularly at women's conferences and counseling conferences. She's has a bachelor's in theology and has co-authored Give Them Grace, Dazzling Your Kids with the Love of Jesus, also Answering Your Kids' Toughest Questions. She co-wrote with her mother, Elise Fitzpatrick, and Jessica is married with three children, and she lives in California and is joining us today to talk about her new book, Everyday Grace, Infusing All Your Relationships with the Love of Jesus. So appreciate the opportunity to connect with Jessica again. Welcome back to Connecting Faith.
Thanks, Neil. I'm so happy to be back with you guys.
We're going to talk about kind of grace-filled relationships, or at least a grace-filled guide to relationships. But I want to start out maybe because, as you said right at the outset of this book, you know, there's we don't really need more relationship advice. So why another relationship book?
Right. Well, like I said in the book, and like you just said, we don't need relationship advice. I mean, if you ask someone, how do you make a relationship thrive? Someone who's never read a book is probably going to say things like, oh, you know, you be kind, you be patient, you forgive. I mean, generally speaking, we know how to be in relationships, right? The problem isn't that we don't know. The problem is that we don't have the right motivation. The problem is that we think if we can just pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and just try harder, that somehow we'll be a magical relationship person. And what I say in the book and how I feel is that what we need to do instead of focusing on being better in relationships is focus on how God has related to us in relationship. And as we focus on God and how he's related to us in so many different facets, then we'll be able to live out those things that we know we should be doing, those things we know we want to be doing in relationship, because we have a different motivation.
Well, and of course, all of us, whatever relationships we're in, we have those times when things don't quite go well. And so there's a little tension, there's a hurt, there's a wrong. You know, as you talk about, kind of, it seems like maybe our default system is, well, if you do for me, then I'll do for you. That's sort of how we operate most of the time, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's how we operate with each other. So if my husband's kind to me, well, you know, my tendency would be to be kind back. And I would expect him, when he sees that I'm trying, that he would be kind back. So you do for me, I'll do for you. In actuality, that really doesn't have anything to do with me loving my husband. That just has to do with me wanting to be treated in a certain way. So What I want to do and what I hope to do with the book is that we change that. It's not about you do for me, I do for you. It's about God has done for me, so I'm going to do for you no matter how you treat me. I'm going to love you the way that I've been loved.
Grace-filled guide to relationships, something that we really need. I know that, I mean, you and your mom have really worked through this for a number of years. I'm just mm-hmm. curious, was there a time when it sort of clicked for you, maybe? I mean, was it when you were a child, or is it something that's just sort of developed over time?
I'm still waiting.
Okay. Okay.
I think when we wrote Give Them Grace together, as we started to work through how does the gospel change our parenting, and then we started to see, it really changes everything. The fact that Christ came and lived a perfect life that I couldn't live and died the death that I deserve, that changes how I relate to everybody in my life. Being such a recipient of love undeserved changes how I'm going to love others in my life, no matter who they are or how they treat me. It changes everything. So I joke and say I'm still waiting for it to click, but it is an everyday battle. I struggle with wanting to be treated a certain way, feeling like I deserve to be treated a certain way, and forgetting that I've actually been loved immeasurably already. And when I don't get that love from human relationships, I can become angry or sullen or impatient. But when I remember that I have been loved by the God of the universe, he calls me his friend. In John 15, Jesus says, "You are my friends." God calls me his father. Jesus relates to me as his brother. As I think about those things, well, it frees me from desiring and from demanding from others that they would love me the way that God already does love me.
You know, you talk about it, and I've heard many speak this as well about understanding what grace is, and certainly in this area of relationships where we just feel like, well, we need to be, it's so much about our doing, but you start with the done, the difference between the do and the done. Just say how that outlook is really going to make a difference in how we relate.
Yeah, so we do focus on doing, and in a lot of ways, when we focus on the doing, in other words, when I focus on, okay, I need to get up today and love my husband, be patient with him, be kind with him, serve him. When I get up and focus on that, well, I completely leave God out of the equation. And quite honestly, he's my only hope in doing those things. I've been married 20 years this last year, and I need every single day to remember what's been done already for me. So when I get up and I focus instead on, how Christ has come to me and loved me when I don't deserve it, how in Isaiah he talks about gathering the outcast, how he promises to be with the lonely, how he is close to the brokenhearted, how he saves those that are crushed in spirit. When I focus there, when I'm sitting there, then loving my husband becomes a lot easier because I'm not demanding or expecting from him anything. I can love him out of the love I've been given. But when instead I'm focusing on my doing, so I need to respect my husband, which I do. The Bible's very clear on that. And he needs to love me as the way that Christ has loved the church. When I'm focusing on that, well, I can either be very proud and think, I'm respecting him, I'm doing so great, why isn't he loving me the way that he should love me? So I swing to that side, or I swing to this other side where I think, I can never respect him the way the Bible calls me to respect him. I'm a failure, and then I'm depressed. But when instead I'm focused on what Christ has already done for me, how God has brought me into relationship by Christ's work, when I'm focused there, then I'm not concerned necessarily about, am I doing it just right and being proud, or am I doing it just wrong and being depressed? I'm focused on what Christ has already done, and I can just love my husband out of that freedom. It frees me up from thinking about my performance or his performance, and instead I'm focused on Christ's performance for me instead.
In the moments ahead, we'll flesh that out a little bit more in various ways in which we relate to each other, whether it's to our spouse or to our children or coworkers, mm-hmm. people that we go to church with, all those things. We'll get some great insight, a grace-filled guide to relationships. It's a new book from Jessica Thompson called Everyday Grace, Infusing All Your Relationships with the love of Jesus. We've got three copies of the book to give away. Looking forward to getting a copy in your hands. Know it will be an encouragement to you and maybe just give you a fresh outlook today that you really needed. So I'm going to ask you to just give us a call and sign up for that. We'll do the drawing at the end of the hour whenever we have resources to give away. It's a new book from Bethany House Publishers. You can call us at 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Sign up for a copy of Jessica Thompson's new book called Everyday Grace. Jessica is a conference speaker and author. She's written several wonderful books, co-authored several with her mother, Elise Fitzpatrick, Give Them Grace, Dazzling Your Kids with the Love of Jesus, and Answering Your Kids' Toughest Questions. And we're going to get to some more of the questions, like is there value to sort of faking it till you make it when it comes to relationships and all that. We'll get to that and more in just a moment. Jessica Thompson, stay tuned. God's grace is like, what it's all about. We're seeing how we can put it into practice and revel in it every day. Everyday Grace is the title of a new book from Jessica Thompson, a popular speaker, conference speaker, and author. And the subtitle is called Infusing All of Your Relationships with the Love of Jesus. We got some copies to give away. You can join the conversation as well with a question or comment at 877-93-FAITH, whether it's parenting or relationships or maybe coworkers, church, whatever it might be. You're welcome to join in. So we're talking about, you know, understanding a sort of a grace-filled approach to relationships, but is there value in sort of the fake it till you make it idea? I mean, I was thinking, you know, someone has said it's easier to act your way into a new way of thinking than to think your way into a new way of acting. So, you know, behaviors do influence our thinking as well, right?
Right. So there are days when I get up in the morning and I don't want to be kind and I don't want to love my kids, honestly, or my husband, you know, in all sincerity. And I don't want to get together with the women at my church to pour my life out for them. And on those days, I don't just say to myself, well, I don't feel like it and I don't want to be insincere, so I just give up. That's not it. What I do is I pray, Lord, use this. You see how weak I am. You see how desperate I am for you. Use this, even though I am not really feeling it. So if I do it out of faith, if I do it saying, God, I need you, please use this, that's one thing. But if I do it as a way to earn God's love for me, or if I do it as a way to make people feel indebted to me, so I'm going to get up and I'm going to say, kids, I really don't want to be making your breakfast today, but I'm going to do it because that's just the kind of mom I am. And I somehow give them some sort of manipulation or guilt trip, then there's a problem with that. If I'm doing it for myself, to make myself feel better, or am I doing it because I know that it's the right thing to do, and I know that God can change my heart even in the middle of my selfishness and unkindness, there's a huge difference in those two schools of thought.
You talk early on in the book about just God adopting us as his children, and maybe that's a good place to start about, you know, talk about the significance of that and how that just helps frame our how we relate to our children.
Right. So it's kind of, you know, we think of God as our father a lot of times, and we can sort of deal with that thought. We can sort of reconcile ourselves to that thought. But a lot of times we then equate that to our earthly fathers. And the way that God is with us, he's not some drunken father. He's not some irate, irrational father that's just going to go off on us any minute. The way that God deals with us, he carries us close to his heart. The Bible talks about in Hosea how he gently leads those. He holds us by the arm. He feeds us. All these different really compassionate, kind ways that God talks about being our father. And as I think about those ways that God is with us, and especially in Hosea, those verses where he talks about being our father, how he feeds them and he's kind to them and he teaches them how to walk and all these different fatherly pictures that we get, right in those verses preceding it talks about how he was providing for them and they didn't believe it was him. And so I think about how he does those things for me even though I don't deserve it and I don't give him the credit for it. And I think about how he, instead of going off on me or yelling at me or disapproving of me or something like that, instead he continues to love me and support me. Then that changes how I am with my children. It gives me a very realistic expectation of what I should be thinking of my kids. They're sinners, just like I am. So they're going to be ungrateful, just like I am. They're going to hide. They're going to lie. They're going to do all the things that I do. And then when I see how God in his fatherly love continues to condescend to me, it changes the way I am with my children. I'm no longer angry. Not to say that I'm never angry. That would be a lie. But I will say that thinking about God as my father has drained the anger out of my parenting, a lot of it, because I'm focused more on how he's loved me than how my children are disrespecting me or they're not obeying me. And a lot of the time, parents, the way they parent is based on fear. So if my kids aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, then I'm afraid and then I get angry. I'm worried about their future. I'm angry, all these different things. But instead, when I'm remembering that there's a Heavenly Father who promises to care for every single one of my needs, who promises that he loves me, that he loves my family, that I'm able to love and show grace to my children in a way that I normally wouldn't because I'm not focused on their, not necessarily on their behavior or on my behavior, I'm focused on God. That doesn't mean I don't discipline. We definitely discipline. But discipline is always done with an attitude of reconciliation. It's always to bring them back in, never to punish and push out. And I think that's the difference between parenting based on, you know, am I a good parent or is God my good father? There's really just one good father and one good child. We have one good father, that's God, and one good son, and that's Jesus. And so it frees us from expecting our kids to be perfect. It frees us from expecting perfection from ourselves, and it enables us to just love our kids the way we've been loved.
I appreciate you kind of talking a bit about discipline and maybe just say more about that because you weren't saying that, you know, well, if our kids disrespect us, that we'd sort of just give up our maybe responsibilities
right.
as
no.
parents, right?
Absolutely not. We definitely need to be disciplining our children. But I think the way that we discipline, is it done because we're angry and we're embarrassed and we feel that somehow they need to treat us better? Or is it done because we're grieved for them? Because we're grieved that they're looking for something to satisfy that they'll never find in what they're doing. There's a huge difference in those two things. So when we come to our kids as fellow sinners in need of grace versus coming to them self-righteously saying things like, I can't believe you just did that, it changes the way you discipline your children. It breaks down a lot of barriers. They feel able to talk to you in maybe ways that they couldn't before, because they felt like you would disapprove and be angry. But when you come to them confessing your own sin, it enables them to be able to confess their sin to you also. So, yes, discipline your children. For the sake of society, please, for the good of society, discipline your kids. But do it in a way remembering that you're a sinner just like they are and you have a capable and strong Savior that can help you both.
So are there, I know in your book, Give Them Grace, Dazzling Your Kids with the Love of Jesus, I mean, you actually kind of go through almost some role play things. Are there maybe phrases or ways in which we can, you know, discipline with grace or kind of just work through those acknowledgments that we recognize that we fall short of God's standards as well?
Right. And that's one thing that I say to my kids all the time. And a lot of times before I go into a discipline situation with them, I will pray that the Lord will show me how I do the exact same thing that they're doing. Mm. And then you go in and you're able to say, look, you didn't want to share right there. And you know what? I don't want to share either. Matter of fact, I don't even want to be sharing my time with you to do this right now. It makes me angry that I have to. So I get not sharing. I totally understand not sharing. One phrase we use a lot with our kids, I mean, they're older now, but when they were younger, one phrase we used a lot with our children was, you need a Savior. You need to be rescued, just like Mommy does, just like Daddy does. Another phrase that we used a lot was, everywhere sin goes, tears follow. But everywhere that confession goes, redemption follows. And so talking to them about their need for a Savior, talking to them about your need for a Savior, and getting rid of this sort of us versus them mentality. Us, we're the parents and we're good, and you guys are the kids that need to get in line and act like us. The truth is they're already acting like you, and that's why they're having problems, right, if we're honest. That's the truth. But we do have a Savior that can change, redeem, who loves families and works in families, loves covenant, works in covenant. And because of that, we can trust that he can work in our family, no matter how much of a mess it is.
You know, you and your mom have written several of these wonderful books and given us some great encouragement about grace, grace-filled parenting and living. But I'm wondering, when you experienced it, I guess, you know, growing up at home, were your parents on the same page? I mean, is that an issue that maybe you encounter where maybe one spouse feels differently about how things should be handled or tends to sort of default to a different position?
Right. And let me just say this. When I grew up, we didn't talk about grace at all. Hmm. We were in a Christian home. Everybody was a Christian. Everybody was saved. I learned really early on that the best way to get approval was to be the good girl. And I did that with gusto. I did that all through my high school years. I went on missions trips. I helped with the youth group, all the while knowing that I wasn't a Christian. But also knowing that everybody would tell me how amazing I was, and I really loved hearing that. I went so far as to go to Bible college, and in Bible college, the Lord came to me and showed me that all of my goodness would never be good enough, that I needed the goodness of someone else. So I didn't grow up in a situation where, like what we're talking about now and what my mom and I talk about now, I didn't grow up in that. But as far as God being able to come into a situation and just change it, he's done that in our family. And, you know, parents aren't always going to be on the same page. My husband and I are for sure not always going to be on the same page when it comes to discipline. And, you know, I may err on the side of, oh, let's be kind, and, you know, or I don't know, that seems harsh. And he may go to the other side. And, you know, part of being in relationship with him is learning how to do those things. And for me is learning how to say to God, I trust you with this, and I trust that my parenting, even if I think I'm doing it right, isn't going to save my kids. And his parenting, he has to say the same thing. He's got to trust that even if he thinks what he's doing is right and maybe I'm doing it a little bit differently, it's not going to save our kids, right? Salvation is of the Lord alone. So while I'm saying to you it's good to parent your kids with grace, it's good to parent remembering the gospel, that doesn't mean that if you do that, your kids will be saved. Salvation's God's work, not ours. So we do our best to point them to the Savior, all the while remembering he's the one that's got to do it. He's the one that's got to enliven their hearts. We're not the Holy Spirit. So I can trust that if my husband and I aren't on the same page, and that does happen, I can trust that the Holy Spirit will even use that. He's strong enough even to use our disagreement to point our kids to Christ.
We'll talk more about how we relate to our husbands and wives and our marriages and how we relate in friendship and maybe in the broader community as well. We're getting a great insight on grace-filled relationships. Everyday Grace is the book we're referencing. It's called, the subtitle is Infusing All Your Relationships with the Love of Jesus. Talk more about what that looks like with Jessica Thompson, who's a conference speaker, author, and has joined us today. We've got some copies of the book to give away. Love to have you join in. Sign up for, we got three copies to give away. You can sign up today at 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. Join us for the conversation with Jessica Thompson. More in a moment.
This is Amazing Grace.
Past the hour, thinking if nothing else, maybe as a result of our conversation today, that you'll, when you hear songs like that and sing in your worship, you know, time in church, that you will truly be amazed at God's grace for us and his unfailing love We can maybe just deepen our understanding of that during our conversation today with Jessica Thompson. Jessica's a conference speaker and a writer, has a bachelor's in theology, has co-authored Give Them Grace, Dazzling Your Kids with the Love of Jesus, and Answering Your Kids' Toughest Questions with her mother, Elise Fitzpatrick. We've had both Elise and Jessica on times past, and we're honored to have her back with us today. Her new book, Everyday Grace, Infusing All Your Relationships with the Love of Jesus. And we've got some copies to give away. You can sign up for that at 877-93-FAITH. Jessica, let's just, you alluded to it early on the broadcast about Jesus calling us friends. Let's talk about how understanding grace helps us relate to our friends in a different way.
Well, I know for me personally, I have made an idol out of friendship in a lot of different ways in my life. I've looked to see who is standing next to me or who calls me their friend to give me worth, to give me confidence. I have looked to friends to essentially be Jesus for me so that they would always be praying for me or know just the right thing to say. And not only that, I've looked to be Jesus for my friends. I've looked to have friends worship me and tell me, oh, you're an amazing friend. You always know the right thing to say. So there's this coin that goes back and forth. I'll be Jesus for you. You be Jesus for me. And that has been a real struggle in my life that I try to be real honest about, hoping that if I drag it into the light, kicking and screaming, it'll lose some of its power. But what really helps that me, confession is good, but what really helps me is Jesus' words to me in John 15:15. And he says this, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant doesn't know what the master is doing, but I've called you friends. For all that I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. I think we can wrap our mind a little bit around God being our Father. Like, that is sort of a majestic sense of Father. But to know that Jesus Christ, the God-man, calls us his friend and says to us, everything I know from the Father, I want you guys to know. To know that that's how he relates to us in a very intimate way, well, it changes everything for me. So as I struggle in my friendships and I'm idolatrous in those relationships, the very thing I'm looking for all along, I have. Jesus Christ in John 15:15 answers all of my questions about isolation, all of my sadness about feeling alone in friendships. He answers the one question, which is like, am I in the in crowd? And he says to me, oh, you're in my crowd. You're in my crowd. I'm going to stand next to you, and I'm going to say you're my friend. And as I remember that, it changes me from using my friends to build my identity. And it allows me then to love them freely without expecting anything in return, because that's how Christ has loved me. And I can tell you that just in my relationships, it's completely changed things up. You know, my friends would always have to walk around the eggshells around me. Were they going to be enough for me? Were they going to do it just right? And as the Holy Spirit's worked in my life in this area, and as he's grown me in this area, well, they don't have to worry about that so much anymore. Again, I don't do it perfectly, but I can say that there's been growth and change in my life because the Holy Spirit has brought this truth to bear in my heart that Jesus Christ calls me his friend. And so I don't have to look to earthly relationships to satisfy me. I have everything I need in him. He's related to me in a way that is undeserving. So I can, what that does in my life is now I don't have to go and look for the cool people to be friends with. I don't have to look for, I sound like a high schooler, but it really is true in my own life. I don't have to look for someone who I think is going to make me somehow more important by their friendship. I can now go look for the lonely and the outcast, because that's what Christ has done for me. And I can go pour my life into them without expecting anything in return, because I already have everything I need. I already have everything I need in Christ's friendship towards me.
Oh, we want you hanging with us, Jessica. I mean, you can, you know, we're not the cool people, but you can hang with us anyway. So just, you know, it does remind me, though, it seems like, I mean, this society almost, it's sort of built in insecurity, particularly in this area, hasn't it? I mean, you know, if you don't have enough clicks on your fake friends, you know, you're feeling insecure.
Absolutely. Social media feeds this frenzy. It really does. So, you know, I post a picture on Instagram, I say something on Twitter, and if I don't have people liking it, well, all of a sudden I'm feeling insecure and unworthy, and I'm looking to my own performance, and I'm looking to other people to validate me. When, again and again, I'm going to say it over and over again, Christ has told me that he loves me with an everlasting, forever love, and he's related to me as a friend. And so I don't have to worry about those things anymore. I can use social media to serve others instead of serving my own ego or my own desire to be liked. I can look to build relationships and encourage others through social media instead of having it be all about me and about you liking what I say. Oh, social media has been a trap for a lot of people who struggle with this. I know myself being one of them.
Well, it kind of leads into talking about maybe our spouses as well, because we probably expect our spouses to validate, aspects in our life that, you know, only God can do. So talk about God, our partner, our spouse.
Right. You know, it's kind of an amazing thing what he does for us in calling us his spouse and loving us, the church, in you know, the whole picture of Hosea, where there's this unfaithful bride, I mean, really a prostitute, that Hosea keeps going after. God keeps saying, bring her back in, bring her back in, bring her back in. And then we have this picture in Revelation where we're actually, Jesus Christ is waiting for the marriage supper of the Lamb, like, we're waiting to be wed to him forever. And what changes our marriages is remembering how unworthy we are of that sort of love. How God looks at us through Jesus Christ, and he doesn't see this messed up, idolatrous, looking everywhere else but to God to satisfy this desire for love. He looks at us and sees us hidden in Christ, perfect record. And so we're actually dressed now in this beautiful wedding dress, Christ's righteousness. We're dressed now in his righteousness. We have his robe of righteousness placed over us. And so as I'm sitting in that and secure in that, then again, I'm free to love my husband on the days that he doesn't feel love towards me or he's having a hard day at work. I'm free to just give myself to him. Because it's not about him loving me. It's about I've already been loved. Do you see how it is in every relationship? It's so beautiful how God condescends to us and says, okay, here's a relationship you struggle in, your marriage. I'm going to relate to you as your heavenly spouse. Here's a relationship you struggle in, your friendships. I'm going to tell you you're my friend. Here's a relationship you struggle with, your parents or your kids. I'm going to tell you I'm your father. And how he comes to us in all these different beautiful facets to show us over and over and over again, he's enough. Relationship with him is enough, and it enables us to give our lives away to those people that we relate with, even when it's hard.
Say a word to maybe the person who's just feeling, has sort of swung to the failure side, which you know, can so easily happen. I mean, you know, whether it's insecurity or just, you know, I'm not the kind of, you know, spouse I want to be, you know, parenting my children, or I'm getting in trouble at work or what, you know, just talk to us about that feeling of failure.
I mean, I'm talking to myself as well. So we're forgiven. We're forgiven. I mean, you think about that failure that plagues you every day, the way that every morning you think to yourself, today I'm going to do this, and then you fail. You're forgiven. You're loved. You're welcomed. And as we dwell on that, it gives us courage tomorrow to try again. It gives me courage to get up in the morning and say, I'm going to love this person even though it's hard today. And I'm going to love this person in the next 5 minutes, even though it's hard now. And the next 5 minutes, even though it's hard now. See, God promises to give us grace for today. He promises us that he's going to help us through every moment. And so we continually be reminded, you know, in some ways, continual failing is a good thing. And let me explain, it's not good for the people that it affects, but it's good for you because it reminds you of how desperate you are for Jesus. And then it reminds you again of how he really isn't going to give up on you. And he really is waiting for you in heaven. And there will be a day, it makes me cry every time I think about it, there will be a day when we'll be free from all thought of ourselves. We'll be freed from sin. We'll be freed from the hurts that others have done to us. and we'll just live in glorious happiness, praising our Savior that He chose one such as I, who loves everything else but Him, and chose to bring me into His family and shower me with His love. So for those who feel like a failure, hey, me too. But you know what? Jesus Christ identifies as the friend of sinners. You know, they tried to insult Him with that, the Pharisees did, and Jesus Christ was like, yes, that's my name. I'm a friend of sinners. You feel like a sinner? I'm your friend. Run to me. I've already forgiven you. I love you. Find rest with me.
It's a good spot to take a quick break and come back, getting some encouragement, some inspiration, hopefully some message of hope today for wherever you are in the relationships. I mean, there's some that are troubling you today, and you realize that you haven't been living with grace, living with the love of Jesus. We're talking about everyday grace, infusing all your relationships with the love of Jesus. That's the title of Jessica Thompson's new book, published by Bethany House. Got a couple of copies to give away. We'll do that at the end of the hour. And so I invite you to sign up for that. I hope you've been encouraged by what we've heard so far. If you maybe have a comment or a question, you're welcome to join the conversation. We'll be back in just a minute with more. You can call us at 877-933-2484. More with Jessica Thompson talking everyday grace just ahead. Everyday Grace, infusing all your relationships with the love of Jesus. That's the title of Jessica Thompson's new book. Jessica has written several books and co-authored with her mother, Elise Fitzpatrick, Give Them Grace, Dazzling Your Kids with the Love of Jesus, Answering Your Kids' Toughest Questions. We've talked to her about both those books, and happy to have her on today to discuss the new one, Everyday Grace. Jessica is a conference speaker and writer, lives with her husband and children in California. And there, as her kids are getting older, you know, she's kind of going through a transition time, too. You know, we can all relate to that. I want to talk about maybe just expanding grace, the love of Jesus in relationships sort of beyond our family, beyond our spouse and our kids. When it comes to maybe our workplaces or, you know, the communities which we live, say a word about what everyday grace looks like there.
Well, the thing that helps me when I'm thinking of working outside of my home is, and honestly, it goes back to all these different things. Jesus becoming a human, He understands relationship in a very real and true way. And the Bible actually says He sympathizes with us in our weaknesses. He was tempted in every way as we are, and yet without sin. Jesus Christ worked, which is kind of a crazy thought. You know, for years, He lived in obscurity, sawing wood, hammering. You know, He was a carpenter, and He understands what it's like to have to work with people. And knowing that He understands what it's like to have to work with people, knowing that He worked, helps me every day as I'm trying to extend grace to people who I work with. Because I can think, you know, this is really difficult, or this person is difficult, but I know that Christ understands, and He loves me, and He sympathizes with me in this, and I can extend grace to people. You know, when we remember what He's done for us, we can stop looking at people in the workplace as obstacles to hop over, and we can start looking at them as people to be loved, like we've been loved. And so in the workplace, it's this continual prayer, Holy Spirit, show me how to serve and love this person, which I don't think we necessarily think of in the workplace very much. You know, we try to just get through our day and come home. But thinking of your vocation, your calling, as something that's holy and something that God loves and God treasures, then it changes how you go about every day. So that changes everything for me, too, from doing laundry for my kids to selling books at a conference. It changes how I interact with people, because even in those little small things, I can be doing those in faith to God as a gift to Him, remembering and knowing that He loves me and that Christ worked perfectly, never cheated anybody, never tried to look to get ahead, always loved everybody. He did that in my place. So I now have his perfect record of always obeying, even in the workplace.
One of the chapters, you talk about how the Holy Spirit, our comforter, helper, helps us in our relationships with difficult people. And maybe just say more, or if you got some practical tips on that, because all of us are going to encounter difficult people at one time or another.
Right. And let me just say to those people who maybe live with difficult people or encounter difficult people every day, God sees you. God knows the pain that you go through. He doesn't look at your pain. He doesn't look at your discomfort. He doesn't look at your hurts and just think, gosh, get over it. Can't you see that I've loved you? That's never how he is with us. Jesus Christ understood real hurts. I mean, here he is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, about to go and die on the cross for these guys, and they fall asleep, and he's hurt. He's like, can't you stay with me for just 1 hour? Can't you just stay awake and pray with me? You know, Jesus Christ understood what it was like for his family to think he was crazy. They actually talk about all through the Gospels how Jesus Christ is in the temple and he's sharing, and his brothers come to take him away because they're afraid he's gone insane. So he understands what it's like to be hurt by your family. He understands what it's like to be hurt by your friends. He understands what it's like to be hurt by the institutionalized church. The Pharisees hated him. The religious leaders of the day hated him. He gets all of that in a very real way and probably understands that pain deeper than we ever would, because we do sometimes do things to, we hurt back. He never hurt back. So I would say, first of all, whatever hurt you carry, whatever scar that you bear, his grace is strong enough to heal you. His love is strong enough to carry you. That's the first thing I would say. And then I would say, and he's given us the Holy Spirit. Jesus talks about, I'm going to go now, but I'm going to leave the Comforter. And he's actually so much better than I am. I'm going to leave the Comforter for you, and he is going to be with you, continually pointing you to me. He's going to be with you, reminding you that you are loved, reminding you that the gospel is true. And so as we encounter difficult people, and we will, and, you know, maybe you are the difficult person. Who knows? But as we encounter difficult people, we can rely on, depend on, pray to, cry out to the Holy Spirit. And he promises to be our comforter. And he promises to be with us in those difficult circumstances.
I would think that if we could really learn to begin to live this out every day, that it would make a difference in our churches and even have an influence in our communities, too.
Right, right. So it bleeds into everything. I'm not going to church anymore looking for ways to be served. I'm not going to church anymore thinking who's gonna be the one who is gonna step up and, you know, disciple me or serve me, or how is this pastor's sermon gonna serve me? No, I'm looking for ways to pour out my life to others, because all of the needs I have are met in Christ. And in our communities, we can go just and love people freely, because of the way we've been loved. I mean, that should change everything. We should be looking for ways to help the orphan, looking for ways to get into prisons and talk to people, because no longer is it about, I want to feel comfortable, I want to feel served, I want my needs to get met. Now it's all about, how can I serve others and love others, because how Christ has so graciously served and loved me.
Talking with Jessica Thompson about her book, Everyday Grace. Let's go to Bob. On line one, Bob, you're on with Jessica. Go ahead with your comments.
Yes. Years ago, I read a book by Bruce Naramore, and the title is You're Someone Special. I know it sounds kind of like the humanistic self-esteem or self-image thing, but it's not that. He's a Christian psychologist, and he said that we operate under the assumptions, two assumptions that are false, that are misbeliefs. He says, number one is acceptance must be earned. And number two, failure deserves punishment. And that's the way people treat us, you know, not with a gracious way of relating as God does. And we're so used to being treated that way by people that it's hard for us to believe that God could actually be that different, that, you know, loving and graceful and unconditionally loving and accepting us. Go ahead.
Good work, Bob. Thank you.
Yeah, that is really good, and I completely agree. And we operate under that with God all the time, too. Like, we think, if I can be good enough, he's going to love me more. And he's just like, oh, I already love you with everything I am. You don't have to earn it any longer. Christ has earned it for you. And the thing is, the more we believe that, the less we demand from others, the less we treat them like, you have to earn my love, because we know we've been loved. So we're free now just to love people, just like he was saying, without them earning it or without them deserving it. We're free to love and accept others in their failures, because that's how we've been loved and accepted.
Jessica, I want to circle back. We've got about maybe 3-4 minutes left or so, but maybe some encouragement you can offer for parents who want their kids to treat their siblings with grace and the love of Jesus. You know, it's one thing for us to do it, but to get our kids to do it, what do you recommend?
Well, don't have more than one kid. No.
Okay, sure. Perfect. Thank you. Practical advice. That's what we offer here.
I would just say, you know, your kids are sinners, and everybody's looking to find their identity in the way they're treated. So just like you are, your kids are too. So when they feel slighted by their brother or their sister, they're going to rise up. And they're going to demand to be treated better. So in those situations, what you need to do is remind them of their true identity. Hey, baby, the thing you're fighting for right here, you already have in Christ. You're already loved. You're already welcomed. You don't need to prove anything to them. You don't need to prove anything to yourself. You don't need to prove anything to me. You're already loved and welcomed. Most sin comes down to this identity issue. Do we really believe that God loves us? And if we really believe that God loves us despite our performance, it's going to take away a lot of the sin we do. So that comes from the top down with you and your husband or with you and your wife, showing them over and over again. It's not, our love isn't performance-based. Our love is based on relationship, and that we have relationship with you. So you want to talk to your kids over and over again. Remind them of their identity. Remind them that they're already loved. Remind them of what Christ has done. So, yeah, you can tell them, hey, stop fighting. And they know that they shouldn't be fighting. But when you remind them of how they've been loved and what Christ has done for them, hopefully, by the work of the Holy Spirit, that trickles into their relationships with each other. They're never going to live with each other without fighting. We're just humans, and it's what we do. But in a home that treasures repentance, so you repenting to your kids, you repenting to your husband, and them seeing that, hopefully those fights will be followed up by repentance. And then just showing off the gloriousness of his forgiveness for sinners.
Hmm. I was thinking it comes down to us learning how to graciously receive a gift, doesn't it? That's the first step, maybe.
It does. You know, we don't like that at all. We don't like to think, I can't earn this. We actually militate against it and hate it. But that is the step. That is the Christian life, is receiving an undeserved gift. And that is what the Holy Spirit has to work in our hearts. Open our hands, tell us to receive it over and over again, every single day, every minute of day, reminding us that we really do not deserve this gift, but he's given it to us anyway.
Well, it's been a gift to spend some time with Jessica Thompson today. She's written a new book called Everyday Grace, Infusing All of Your Relationships with the Love of Jesus. It's published by Bethany House. Jessica is a popular conference speaker and author, and she has co-authored Give Them Grace, Dazzling Your Kids with the Love of Jesus, with her mother, Elise Fitzpatrick, as well as Answering Your Kids' Toughest Questions. And I recommend all of those resources to you. Jessica, it was good to spend some time with you, and thank you for just helping us raise our sights a bit here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate your time.
Jessica Thompson joining us today here on Connecting Faith. Hey, you may have missed part of the broadcast today. You know, we post our interviews on the website at the end of each show, and so you have the opportunity to go back and listen again. We also give you a little highlight, and even better yet, you can pass it on to a friend. There may be someone that you know or thought of even as you were listening today that could really benefit from hearing this conversation. So, as Susie Larson talks about, you can be a radio missionary. All those resources are shareable, easy to access and pass along. Go to myfaithradio.com and then click on the Connecting Faith show page for the audio archives and all the other resources available there. It's myfaithradio.com. And Thank you for your support that makes these programs possible.